ladies and gentlemen, Ann Nunnigan said, maybe you honestly wondered if your prayers and the simple prayers of your far from perfect family can really make a difference. It's actually that very gut level of honesty within a family and our knowledge of each other's inadequacies. Amen, somebody. That makes praying together so powerful. You can't be fake when praying with your family. Allow me to repeat that. You can't be fake and phony praying with your family. Allow me to say that again. There's no room for hypocrisy, phoniness, and fakeness when you are praying with your family. That's one of the powerful things about family devotion. We all know each other. We know our faults. We know our failures. We know our inadequacies. We know our weaknesses. There's no phonying in the family. There's no faking in the family. We all have one another's number. You can fake and you can phony in a religious environment, in a church setting, but you can't do that at the house, because somebody's going to call you on it. She goes on to say, you have to rely on God's forgiveness and His righteousness. And I will add His agape love through the cross of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? We can shut down the devotional almost right there, but we're not. So let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you so much for these insightful words. We all know it's true. We can't be fake and phony and hypocritical down at the house, because everybody has one another's number. We can't pull shenanigans when we're praying with the family and reading the Bible with the family. We can't be fake down at the house. And we thank you for that. And we can't strike a pose at the house. We can't have a sudden outburst to make us look spiritual out at the house. We can't do things that are out of character at the house, showing off in front of other people in a church setting, for example. So Holy Father God, help us to pray in the family, pray with the family, and keep it real and deal with real issues in the family that can change and transform individuals to meet the challenges of the world and deal with all kinds of people in the world without compromising their Christian convictions. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, help us to do it. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles now to Ephesians not 522, but 523. We're going at a slower pace all the way down. We're going to deal with husbands in minute detail as well when we get there, as well as the children. This is one of the reasons why we have read this passage in my family for 30 years. It covers everybody and deals with everybody. God is no respecter of persons. And you wives who are concerned about your husband's leadership, you need not be. Put your faith and trust in God and be at peace and let God do what he's going to do. It is your role to have faith in God, to trust God, and leave your husband in the hands of God. The more you try to control your husband, the more God will take his hands off. It's a matter of having faith and trust in God, having a meek and quiet spirit, and praying and making sure you do your job, and everything will be fine. Verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Dr. Thomas Constable writes in his expository notes on the Bible regarding this verse. He says, "The reason for the wife's willing submission is that God has placed wives in a position under their husband's authority." You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." Well, don't get married, because this is God's thing. This is not yours to play with and to try on like you try on a pair of shoes. If you're not willing to submit to a man, do not get married to a man, and submit to yourself and be whatever you're going to be and do whatever you're going to do. At the same time, when you have needs and desires and you're feeling lonely, you can't be getting in and out of bed as a female gigolo with this man and that man. You can't have a maintenance man coming over. So make up your mind what you want to do. As we used to say down in the hood, mildew or barbecue. Likewise, the author says, "He has chosen to place Jesus Christ in authority over, as the head of, the church. Also, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the church, that is the body. As the husband is similarly the deliverer, if you will, and protector of his wife. The husband's headship, additionally, involves loving, serving, caring for, and leading his wife. These are all things that Jesus Christ does for the church. To speak in terms of functional equality for husband and wife erroneously removes the complementary quality of relationship and invalidates the comparison to Christ and the church, who are not functionally equal." I'm sure you understand, you're not equal to Christ as a part of the church. We are to submit to him, everybody, from the pastor on down, from the pope on down, whoever is born again, who is saved, and a member of God's church, the beloved, must submit to Christ. We do understand that we are not his equal. And the same, functionally speaking, you're not your husband's equal. He is in charge. And you have to accept that or have a miserable, compromised, phony, fake marriage, which means absolutely nothing to you or your children. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help young ladies who are getting married to take heed to your holy word and to willingly submit to their husband so that their husband will not have to do as I have had to do and read this passage each and every day, for example. Rebuke my wife constantly for her rebelliousness and stubbornness and so forth. And I pray that millions of young ladies would just do it willingly. And you know and I know they will have the best of this world. And they will enjoy their lives immensely. Because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't take much to take care of a man. And then go ahead and off to the mall and drink coffee with their girlfriends. It's a matter of being wise and being virtuous and being smart. And I pray that all young ladies who are getting married, they're young in their marriage. The truth of the matter is, no one wants to hear this. For the older wives, it is very possibly too late for them to enjoy the best of marriage and the best of this world because they've been rebellious and stubborn and disobedient for 20, 25, 30 years. We do pray that they will still confess their sins and repent. But Lord, we are aiming for the millennials. We're aiming for the younger women and the younger husbands to do family life right and have a grand old time because of obedience to the Holy Word. Your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reading the devotional Bible passage for today, Psalm 82. And we may not read all of it, I'm not sure. Today, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the little g gods. How long, verse 2, will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are little g gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And I think that we'll stop right there and continue reading. Maybe not. Let's continue here. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Always put the reference complete. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We pray that you would have it to find a lodging place in our hearts. Help us to love it, to cherish it, to meditate on it, and to obey it. Help us to live by it. and forgive us of our sins of not honoring your holy word as you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me. And by the way, will you find in yourself devotions boring sometimes, routine sometimes in your mind? It's not that way to God. God honors it greatly, big time. But will you find it sometimes to almost feel like a drudgery? You will if you want it to be that way, if you let it be that way. This is a matter of, yes, God leading you to do it. I never heard of family devotions or family altar or anything like that before I got saved. And I didn't hear about it really that much after I got saved. God led me to be a person of prayer. And then, of course, with my will, I have to choose to get about the bed, choose to wash my face, choose to come before God in prayer. And I did that as a single man every day. And then when I got married, I carried on with that. And so we've had family devotions, not because I was trained to do that or taught to do that. God led me to do that. And then there is, however, a matter of will. Will you get about the bed and not go fix breakfast first? Not go do 10,000 things first before you pray? And by the grace of God, with his help, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's help, and with your will, God wants your will to be in play here. And if it's not, you're not going to do it. God's going to do his part. You need to do yours. And you need to do it whether you feel like it or not. And it's up to you whether or not it's going to feel like a drudgery or feel like something boring or something exhausting. It's your mentality, it's your choice as to how you approach it. And so, but it should be done, and I believe it must be done for the glory of God, for the lifting of Jesus Christ in front of your family. But more down where the rubber meets the road, for your benefit and for your good. So join me in praying, and don't be shocked at how that you will pray oftentimes in the same way. Don't get into the bag of trying to come up with something new every day. One preacher out of Houston mentioned how that being faithful to God and in Christ and going to church every week and prayer meeting and praying and so forth, there's nothing exciting about it. You just need to do it. Amen, somebody. So join me in praying for governmental leaders and other states based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Donald Trump and his administration, his family, each member of the White House staff, leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders of all nations around the world. We pray that you'll give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight far beyond their years and far beyond their talents and abilities to lead America and the other respective nations. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, and protection and provision blessings upon these leaders as well. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the center of the world. And we pray now for church leadership. We pray for all pastors, church leaders, denominational leaders, Bible teachers, missionaries, and ministry workers. And we pray that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, discernment, and insight to lead the church. Revive the church again. Help the leaders to lead the church to revival by your power and by your might. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, and life protection and provision blessings upon the church leaders as well and the church. And we pray for all current events around the world happening. Many things are happening during at this time, and Lord, you know all about them. We pray for the comfort of the families who have lost loved ones in the devastating earthquakes in Iran and Iraq, for the recovery of those, of all those who have been wounded. We pray for the comfort of the families and church family of the 26 people killed in the mass shooting at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we pray that you would continue to comfort those families, one family losing 8 family members, and that city and that church as only you can. And we pray for the media, that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help them to report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We pray this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Timothy, or rather for Tiffany. Tiffany, that is, help her husband not to be stressed out. Give him strength and courage to face all challenges at work. Open the hearts of Susan and Janice to get saved and treat them fairly and not terminate them. Protect her mother and son from harm and bless her family. We pray for Samson. Have him to know you as his Savior and give him new hope to live. Have things to go right in his life and help him be obedient. And we pray for Jordan. Please give his family wisdom, fulfill your purposes in their lives, and help them to do your will. We pray for justice. Please heal his mother who suffered a stroke 3 months ago. Please work a miracle and help her to be able to walk and talk again. And remember all that she used to know. Bless their ministry as well. We pray for Milton. Please provide his ministry, African Child in Need, with the support it needs in education and loving care for the children. We also pray for those who have been saved for through this ministry. And we pray for Aditha. We pray for Linda. We pray for Gamba as well. Help these to grow in the faith. And we pray for Endor, and we pray for Des. And Lord, we pray that you would have these to grow in the faith and to be the strong Christians that you want them to be. Help us to be the strong disciplers of the disciples that you want us to be. And we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, through this ministry. We pray for MB, we pray for Brooke, we pray for Rita, and we pray for Lorraine, and help these to stand strong in the faith and never become backslidden in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Lord God in heaven, we commit these souls into your hands as well as ours. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is titled Faith or Experience Part 1 by Oswald Chambers. He goes on to share, we should battle through our moods, our feelings and emotions into absolute devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must break out of our own little world of experience into abandoned devotion to Jesus. Amen, somebody. And this is, with God's help, a choice on our part. Think who the New Testament says Jesus Christ is, and then think of the despicable meagerness of the miserable faith we exhibit by saying, I haven't had this experience or that experience. Think what faith in Jesus Christ claims and provides. He can present us faultless before the throne of God, inexpressibly pure, absolutely righteous, and profoundly justified. My. Stand in absolute adoring faith in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. How dare we talk of making a sacrifice for the Son of God? We are saved from hell and total destruction, and then we talk about making sacrifices? Wow. Holy Father God, help us as your Christian people to appreciate what you have done. And help us to not foolishly think that you owe us anything. And to not foolishly think that we are doing anything that can compare to what you've done for us. So, Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, and we do have some proud people in the church who think that they're doing you a favor by serving you, and you have led me to deal with that issue repeatedly in the past. And so, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults in thinking that we're making sacrifices for you when you made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Lord, help us to be a true living sacrifice for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who happened upon us from the World Wide Web today, wherever you might be on one of our platforms, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you do not know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins, please understand, according to the Bible, you are a sinner already. You don't have to commit another sin to go to hell. You're already on your way to hell for your lies, for your stealing, for your lust, for your disobedience to your parents, dishonoring your parents, having a bad attitude, and so forth. And hell is a sad place, and you do not want to go there. So Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, took away your sins by dying on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. And all God wants you to do to be saved is to believe in him and to believe what he did for you. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, because as you know, just from what's happening in the news, you may not be here tomorrow. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy, holy Father God, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner and that I have done wrong in my life against your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my old ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. That is, if you have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, and that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.